Open your Bibles to Psalm 113, if you would. Psalm 113. As the preachers were talking, Mother's Day is kind of a tough sermon to preach, and so I got the short straw. No, I didn't get the short straw. It's a tough sermon. Father's Day, you just go, okay, Father, suck it up, be men. You know, get out there, be the leader in your family that you should be. That one's coming in June. But you say that on Mother's Day, and you get daggers back at you from this guy. I just got from some of you. You get daggers, so you just don't do that on Mother's Day. What you do is you go to the Psalms. You go to the Psalms because the Psalms say something about really everything about life. And this Psalm of praise, is so significant. The older I get, the more I appreciate my mom. She was here last week. Mom and Dad didn't have responsibilities at church, so they were able to come and be here last week, and I was glad for that. She's been married to my dad for 61 years. That's a pretty cool thing, especially if you know my dad. That's a cool thing. Big deal. And it's becoming rare that people are married for 61 years. It really is. She was a childhood victim of polio, and she spent one whole year, fourth or fifth grade, in bed for a whole year with polio. Missed a year of school, and yet she graduated from the University of Oregon with a degree in music. She raised four children. We all live local now. She has 9 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. Mom's a breast cancer survivor, as well as survivor of quite a few other ailments that make her live with constant, chronic, ongoing pain. And yet she smiles all the time and has a sweet disposition. Her body hurts 24/7, yet she walks at least 3 times per week, and until recently she was working out at the gym on weights. But the thing I admire most about Mom isn't the fact of all those things. The thing I admire most is that of her steadfast love for the Lord and her confidence in the goodness of God. That's what I appreciate most, is her confidence in the goodness of God. She has a big, big view of God. And the psalm before us talks about that. So let's read the psalm. Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Today I want to encourage each one of us, not just the moms here today, but encourage each one of us, but especially the moms, that we would see the greatness of God and the goodness of God in the midst of wearisome and hard times. Some of you have very difficult weeks. Weeks, not just week, but weeks. And seeing the goodness of God in the midst of that is sometimes hard. So our outline today is really just 3 simple points. Go ahead and scroll forward there. God's name is the greatest. So we'll look at verses 1-3, and we'll spend most of our time there. God's name is the greatest, and then God's throne is the highest. Where he sits, his throne is the highest. And finally, in verses 7-9, God's love is the kindest. And the big idea for us this morning is to see the greatness and the goodness of God in all of life. This psalm would have been sung at Passover. So it would have been sung year after year after year. Kind of like we sing Amazing Grace year after year after year, as we did this morning, or as Garth mentioned, he sang it to Boaz over and over and over again. The psalm would have been sung at Passover, and most likely it was one of the hymns, or the hymn that was sung in the upper room at the conclusion of the last supper. They would have sung this psalm. So this psalm had profound impact and profound historical significance for the Jew because of Passover, and for the Christian because of Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Profound significance. And what effect it should have on us on Mother's Day and really every day for the Christian life. Is there anything more wonderful than contemplating the goodness of God, His greatness, and His perspective on things? I need that a lot. I need His perspective on life. Not my perspective on life, but His perspective on life. So look with me at these first three verses. God's name is the greatest. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. We're going to spend most of our time just on these three verses because there is so much here. Four times the word praise is used in the first three verses. You'll see that on the screen. Four times the word praise is used. It also bookends the psalm, and it's at the very end also. Common way a psalm is done, it begins and ends with the same word. So we're going to see this morning both the significance and the scope of what it means to praise the Lord. Praise should be on the lips of every believer. As was said from the open mic, we praise the Lord for our salvation. If you don't stop every once in a while and just ponder the fact that He chose you and He rescued you, and we're going to see this at the end of the psalm, He rescued you literally from the ash heap, is what it says. If you don't stop and ponder and praise the Lord for that, you need to slow down in your Christian life a little bit. For our salvation, for daily provision. We praise the Lord for daily provision. We praise the Lord for God's expanding kingdom that's happening right now. His kingdom is expanding. Even as we're here this morning, new ones have come to faith in Christ from every tribe and tongue and nation all around the world. That's an amazing thing. We praise the Lord for His expanding kingdom and for His attention and interest in every detail of our life. It starts a psalm and He says, praise the Lord, O servants. So who are these servants of the Lord that He talks about that are urged to praise? As was said from Psalm 115, this is a post-exilic psalm. It's after the exile. It's after they had come back. And so perhaps it was the temple choir that sang, let's all choir, let's turn to Psalm 113 and let's sing it together. Perhaps it was the choir that sang it. But more likely, when He talks about servants, He's talking about the entire nation of Israel. He's talking about the whole company of the redeemed. He's talking about singing as a nation and praising God. I get this from Psalms, other Psalms like Psalm 34:22. The Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. His servants, speaking of the whole nation. Or Psalm 136, 1 and again 22. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, His servants, the whole nation. Or Isaiah 41, 8, 9. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from his furthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. The nation of Israel had the privilege of sharing and living out what it meant to be part of the true and living God, the covenant community. They were to be a testimony about the goodness of God. Isaiah 42:6, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. We have that privilege also. We have that privilege also to show people the light. And then when you move to the New Testament, remember Simeon, he used these verses. When Jesus was brought to the temple by his parents, and he said in Luke 2, for my eyes have seen your salvation, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Told Steve Byers if my asthma kicks up, he's on for the rest of the sermon. So if I start hacking and wheezing, I'll just sit down and he'll just come up and he's going to finish with a personal testimony that will tie in perfectly with what we sung and the open mic, because God is amazing at what he's been doing so far. So Simeon, for my eyes have seen your salvation, as he's looking at Jesus, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to the whole world. Or Paul actually applied these verses to his own ministry. For the For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you might bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Every true believer is a servant of the Lord, just like the nation of Israel was. Every true believer is a servant of the Lord. There's no context where we shouldn't be praising the Lord. Unless we're walking in disobedience and in sin, there's no context where we shouldn't be praising the Lord. Even Monday morning at work. And we sang this, didn't we? Every day I'll be a light that shines your name. We sang that this morning. Every day I'll be a light that shines your name. On Mother's Day, it's an honor to be able to praise the Lord for the godly women you have had or do have in your life. Excuse me, moms, grandmas, aunties, older teaching younger, Titus 2 type. Notice in these first three verses, the word name is used three times. Verse 1, praise the name of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 3, the name of the Lord is to be praised. We know from our study, repetition, when there's repetition, there's a point to be made. There's a point to be made. Name refers to the character of God and His glory. His name, the Lord God Himself, and of His attributes, the name of the Lord. It also speaks to the revelation of God and all that He does. God reveals Himself to us at salvation. Why do you think it's such a hurtful thing when you hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain and curse using His name? Perhaps you've caught yourself at times, oh, I shouldn't have said that. It's because His name is precious. His name is valuable. His name is holy. It's about His character. And so when you use His name in vain, you're actually just, it's against the character of God when we do that. That's why we don't do that. God reveals something of Himself to us, even in our daily lives. God has a good name, and that name should be shared with those who have never put their faith and trust in Him. That's why we share our faith, because of the good name of Jesus. It begins in our own homes, moms, dads. We have the joy of making His name known in our homes. Are you pointing your kids daily to the Lord Jesus Christ? Lifting up His name in your home. Making His name glorious. Reminding them, for God did this. Helping parents, helping your kids to connect the dots, to help them see God's goodness in that. Our kids need to see that. And we need to see it. We need to be reminded of that when we see God's goodness. We have the joy of making God look good to those who ignore, oppose, or who don't know Him. In the ancient Eastern culture, and even in some cultures more local to us, your name means something. Many of you may have even named your kids with a specific biblical purpose in mind in naming your kids. I was working on this and thinking about our own grandsons. Each has a godly trait for a middle name. Courage, zeal, valor, justice, truth. That's kind of woven in there, and as they're starting to grow up, you begin to see little William Courage exhibit that character trait. There's something about that name that his mom and dad gave him. And especially the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. That we're saying, when we say, we want your name to be hallowed, we want His name to be lifted up. We want His name to be, God's name to be hallowed, to be holy. We want His holy name to be recognized and known. Isaiah 42:8, I am Jehovah, that is my name. We continue on in verses 2 and 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. This type of praise that He's calling us to today, that He called them to at that time and that we're being called to, is not bound by time. It's forevermore, or space. It's from east to west. That we never stop praising the Lord, do we? Never stop praising the Lord. The prophet Malachi foresaw the day when Gentiles, that's us, would honor the name of the Lord. Malachi 1:11 and 12. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, And in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. His name is great in all the nations. Are you excited that people from different nations are coming to know Jesus? I hope you are. I hope you are. I hope you read missionary letters and missionary biographies, but more importantly, the current stuff that's happening and how people are coming to faith in Christ. Because God's name can be trusted. His name can be trusted. And as was said from the open mic, there's no other capital G God. There's no other capital G God. There's a lot of God's little g, thousands of them. But Jehovah God is God alone, and His name is the greatest. I hope that comforts you today. It comforts me that His name is the greatest. Secondly, we see that God's throne is the highest. Look at the perspective that God has on your situation. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who is seated on high? Who looks down on the heavens and the earth? The Lord is high above all nations. What are earthly presidents and kings most concerned about? Their prominence, their splendor, their fame, their power, their legacy. That's what most earthly kings and presidents are concerned about. But our God, His throne is exalted. It's higher than. When it says it's exalted, it's higher than, it's more significant than the nations, even above the heavens. Look at Psalm 57:5. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They keep finding new galaxies, don't they? And every time they find a new galaxy, I think, He's above that. We found a new one. And he's above that. He looks down on that. The more powerful the telescope, the more we find, the more we realize He's above the heavens. Or Psalm 99:2, the Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, is today exalted far above all. Ephesians 4:10 tells us, He who descended is the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things. But I think as we look at this psalm, and that's cool, that He's above everything. I don't think that that's the thing that He was most overcome with. He is above everything else. I think He was most overcome, impressed with the fact that He stoops down and pays attention to us. The God that's above all the heavens cares about your business and cares about your school and cares about your home and cares about your paycheck and cares about your health, and He cares about all those things. He stoops down and pays attention to mere men and women who don't always honor Him. Isn't that amazing? In the incarnation, God took an immeasurable step down so that we could have peace with God. Most ancient kings were very inaccessible. You just weren't around the king if you were just one of us. You didn't have access. You would hear what the king did, or you would see the results of what he did, but you never saw the king a lot of times. I was watching the news just recently, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and there was a group of people going through the White House taking a tour. The old tour through the White House, and Donald Trump comes from down a hallway and goes out, "Hi everybody, how you doing? How's the tour?" And then he leaves. And the people are just like, that was the president, right? You don't ever see the president on a tour when you tour. I don't think you do. I've never toured the White House. Anybody toured the White House and seen the actual president there, right there, greeting you? That's the way it was back then. It's like, that never happens. Except now. That happened then. For whatever reason. All right. But God sees us, and He knows every single need that we have. Moms, be encouraged today. Be encouraged, single person who desires to get married. Be encouraged, adult who's caring for an aging parent. Be encouraged, because he knows and sees every single need that you have. And I have to be reminded of that. I lose sight of that. I get lost in the stuff of life, and I need you to remind me of that, that God's involved in all of the details. So we've seen first that God's name is the greatest. Now, and secondly, that his throne is the highest. Now look thirdly, God's love is the kindest. Kindest. Verses 7 through 9. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. When I was reviewing the psalm, I just, verses 7, 8, 9, he raises, he lifts, he makes them sit. Verse 9, he gives. All the things that God does for his children. God not only sees us, but helps us, and he cares for us. He stoops down to work on our behalf. The scripture says he's a very present help in time of trouble. Do you believe that? Do you believe he's a very present help in time of trouble? Daniel, are you done finals yet? Are you done with finals? He's going to be a very present help in time of trouble. He is. You that are students know that. You study, you prepare, and you say, help, Lord. I've done all the preparation I can. He's a very present help. Psalm 136, 6 through 9. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, the sun to rule the day, the moon and stars to rule the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. The powerful God who spoke everything into existence cares about the nitty-gritty stuff in your life and what you're going through, the hard, the easy, the in-between. The picture we have in verses 7 and 8 comes from the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10. And Mary borrowed part of it in her song of praise to God in Luke 1. Hannah was a barren woman whom God gave a son, Samuel, the judge, the prophet. You know, the history of Israel is filled with women who were barren that God gave a son to. Sarah had Isaac. Rebecca was the mother of Jacob. Rachel gave birth to Joseph. Hannah gave birth to Samuel, and Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. God cares about women. God cares in a unique way about barren women. I think we see from these three verses here, the needy are seen and are recognized by God. If you're in need this morning, you are seen and you are recognized by God. As a Christian, you can cry out to him and say, I'm needy. Take notice, God, help. Help. He sees all the people, even moms that are still dealing with cranky babies and dirty diapers. He even cares about that. And I know sometimes for moms, especially moms with little ones, it can be a very lonely, is this ever going to end type of a situation. Of course, is it ever going to end? Sometimes it's for teenagers too, moms, isn't it? You know, is this ever going to end? You know, are they ever going to grow out of this stage? But look at verse 7. He raises the needy from the ash heap. He raises the needy from the ash heap. The ash heap was a place where the outcast would go. The people who had diseases. The people who were sick, the people who were too poor to even have a place to live, they would go out to the ash heap, the garbage dump. And during the day, the sun would warm up the ash heap. And at night, those people that lived there would warm themselves when the garbage got warmed up. That's where you'd go. And you would avoid those places if you weren't one of those people. You certainly wouldn't go anywhere near the ash heap because, I mean, you just wouldn't. But God comes to the outcast and the ash heap and changes our lives. The scriptures say, such were some of you, God stoops down into the ash heap and says, "You're mine. You're mine." And it seems like we reached out to him, and we do, but he reached into the ash heap for us. We were enemies of God. We were against God. We didn't have any desire for him until he came and changed our hearts and raises us up out of the ash heap. And he did it by sending his son Jesus Christ to live for us and to die for us. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? What an example, taking the towel and the basin, stooping down and washing them, that object lesson of what he was about to do on the cross, where their sins were going to be forgiven, and he was stooping down to them, just like God does for us. So on Mother's Day 2017, it's not a nice little flowery Mother's Day sermon. It's stop and praise God. Stop and praise God. Whose name is the greatest? Jesus' name is the greatest. Whose throne is the highest? The Lord God. His throne is high. He's above everything else and looks down. There's nothing that you're dealing with that he isn't aware of and knows and is involved in. And whose love is the kindest? His love is the kindest. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. We sang that, didn't we, Tyler? I assume it's my last two words of my sermon, Only Jesus. And we started singing that song, and I tapped Lou and I said, "Look, look. Only Jesus gives us, give us Jesus," we cry. "Jesus, our great Savior, Lord of heaven, Son of God." I wanted her to think I didn't add that at the end. The only Jesus was already there, and the Holy Spirit just wove that in. Only Jesus. Folks, if you get anything today, he is the greatest. His name is the greatest. His throne is the highest, and his love is the kindest. Only Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pause on this Mother's Day to honor our moms, and just with the realization that some of us grew up in homes, we had moms, but they didn't know you. They didn't honor you. Your name wasn't on their lips, and yet out of your kindness, you have drawn us to you. And a godly legacy can begin where your name is honored in the home. I thank you for families like that. I thank you for families where mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and great-grandma and grandpa and even further back honored you. Thank you for that legacy, and may it continue. May we continue to magnify your name as we celebrate communion this morning and as we continue to sing your praises. In Jesus' name.